Lord Jesus, how we love you and praise you, and things that we get in the flesh when we allow the flesh to rise up, our pride, our wanting our own way. Thank you that you don't give up on us. Thank you that you keep working in our lives to shape and mold us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, and that one day we'll all be home. Oh, it's wonderful, Father. Father, I just lift up each and one of my brothers and sisters who are listening this afternoon and all those who will listen in the future. I lift them up to you and ask that you would just reveal to them anything in their lives that separates them from you, Father, and that they would be able in the power of the Holy Ghost to let go and let you fill them to overflowing with your spirit, with your love, with your joy, with your peace. Oh, might we all be one in you, Lord. Might we be free from our old sinful nature. We thank you that there's no condemnation when we're following hard after the Lord Jesus, that we're not able to keep on sinning, Father. Thank you that you give us the power and the ability to overcome our flesh. Thank you, Father. Might we glorify you today and worship you today. thank you for all that you've provided for this day. And thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do in our lives. We know, Father, that you have only good. And so we praise you. We bow down and worship you today, Lord. And we thank you for making us a part of the family of God through your precious Son, the Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray for anybody that's listening today, that's seeking you with all of their heart, that this would be the day that their understanding would be open to the fact that there is nothing they can do to earn your salvation. All they need to do is turn to the Lord Jesus and ask for forgiveness of sin and ask him to be Lord of their lives. Thank you, Father. We pray for a blessing on everybody who's listening. Might they be encouraged and strengthened in the faith, and might they be ready to go forth wherever you send them to tell others the way home. We look forward to that day, Father, when you're going to tell Jesus, go get your bride. We're watching and waiting, Father. And if anybody that's listening is not watching and waiting, they're still hung up on the things of the world. Father, I know that you're at work in their lives, helping them to let go of the things of this world and to just love you, worship you, look to you, abide in you, and be one with you. It is wonderful. It is the most exciting adventure to be in the family of God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. I'd like to sing this old song to you called He. Look to Jesus. He can do it, whatever it is you need. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We praise you. Thank you, Lord. Lights every star that makes our darkness bright. He keeps watch all through each long and lonely night. He still finds the time to hear a child's first prayer. Sinner. forgive you, Jesus says.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He'll always say, I forgive.
When we confess our sins.
The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins.
That's right.
And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Oh, it's so good to be here with you today.
Thank you for tuning in.
We are still celebrating the service we had at a nursing home in Ocala. And we've talked to some folks up in West Virginia. And in fact, just a few minutes before we come on the air, one of them said, I know it may be after Easter, but I'm going to try to get the administrator to have an outdoor Easter service for our people. And we have another home up in Linside, West Virginia, that has a wonderful, I don't know what you
call it.
A shelter. They have a shelter outside, a nice concrete floor, and plenty of room, and we're going to have a service there next month. We're on the countdown of going home to our Blue Ridge Mountain.
And we're having an Easter service.
On our Blue Ridge Mountain with our church family, our mountain family, Indian Metis Fellowship. We're just looking forward to what God has for us then. But that's then, and this is now. Father, I pray you would anoint my lips and my heart to speak your words as I read your word, that it would go deep and penetrate deep into our hearts, and Lord, that we would see how much you love us, no matter how far in sin that we have gone or how far in sin we are now. God, you want to forgive us.
Amen.
You want us to be cleaned up.
Yeah.
And I pray that this message, Lord, would be the anointing of the Holy Ghost and fire.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Today, if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of St. Luke. We're going to go to the 7th chapter. And we're going to start with the 36th verse and read down through 43. These scriptures here today is telling about a woman that was a real sinner. No telling what all she had allowed herself to get into. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
Oh, the things that we allow ourselves to get into. And sometimes it seems like that we just keep digging a hole for ourselves deeper and deeper. The encouraging part of this part of the scriptures is that this woman had went so far in sin, but yet she wanted a change for her life. And she had heard about Jesus. She had seen Jesus and the love that came out of him. Oh, the love that come out of our Savior's eyes when he walked the earth. And the Bible says that everywhere he went about doing good. Oh, I wish I could be like that. Sometimes I don't do so good. And sometimes you don't either. But Jesus, he was a perfect man, which we could never be perfect, except through him. And he is perfect God. And the Bible says, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would come and eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And you know, that's another thing. Jesus, it never bothered him to go and sit down with sinners or religious people. It never bothered Jesus to be with people. And you know, sometimes we just want to pick and choose when God is saying, I want you to go this way, God wants us to go and be with somebody. It may be a rotten sinner. It may not be a rotten sinner, but Jesus has a purpose for wanting us to go to be with somebody. And Jesus went to the Pharisee's house, and of course he got criticized for that. You know, if you're going to serve God and you're going to do good and you're going to follow Jesus with all of your heart, there's going to be the ones that find fault. No matter what you do, they're going to find fault. And that's why today I want to caution you. If you're trying to serve God with all of your heart, don't worry about what people say or think about you.
That's right.
Oh, we all want to be loved. We all want to be bragged on. We all want people to like us and love us. But the truth about the whole matter is there won't be a whole lot of people to like you or love you in this life.
That's true.
And especially if you're following Jesus, there will be the criticizers, there'll be the fault finders, there'll be those that are always nitpicking. You know, I don't want to be a nitpicker, do you? And the Bible says that he went into a Pharisee's house. Now, Pharisees was religious people, but they didn't really know God. There's a lot of religious people today, and they act it, and they talk it, but they really don't know God.
Amen.
But Jesus came to his house and sat down to eat, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. Boy, she had a reputation, didn't she? When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. You see, it's time for us to know where Jesus is. Jesus is not over yonder somewhere, but Jesus is right here. Jesus is right there with you. Through it all, you can count on Jesus being right there. This woman, she searched and she found Jesus. And you know, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be searching for Jesus.
Amen.
We need, the Bible says that if we seek him, we will find him. He said, if we knock, it shall be open.
Yes.
And this woman was doing exactly that. And she stood at Jesus' feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Well, there's some things to be learned right here. If you're really in the presence of Jesus Christ, there's going to be joy.
Amen.
If you're a sinner, there's going to be sorrow. There's going to be some weeping. And in the presence of Jesus, this woman was the only one that was weeping. Why? Because she was sad? Absolutely not. She was so happy to be in the presence of God.
Amen.
She was so happy to be in the presence of God. And she did wipe his feet that had her tears on that with her hair. And the Bible says, and anointed his feet with the ointment. Now here we go. Church, you need to listen to me. We just want to pick and choose who comes to church. I want to say this to you today, that our church up at Indian Metis is welcome to the Vilest Center. Because that's the place where they can meet Jesus and their life can be changed.
That's right.
But the Pharisee, when he saw it, he thought to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. Listen, Jesus Christ knows all about you.
Amen.
He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake.
Amen.
So be good for Jesus' sake. Jesus knew what kind of woman she was. Jesus knew what kind of man the Pharisee was.
Yes.
Jesus knows who you are. He knows all about you. He knows your longings. He knows your desires. He knows your thoughts. Don't think you can think bad thoughts and get away with it, because God is going to hold you and me accountable for the things that we allow to come into our mind and stick there. Jesus, answering, said unto him, Simon, I've got something to say to you. And he said, Master, say on. Tell me, what do you have to say to me? Jesus said, now listen to me. There was a certain creditor which had two people, two debtors, two people that owed him money. The one owed him 500 pence, and the other owed him 50. And when they both didn't have no way of paying it back, both of them didn't have any way, any means to pay the man they owed the money. One owed him 500, one owed him 50. You know what? This is Jesus right here. He frankly forgave them both. He said, I forgive you the debt. The debt's paid. Stamped it, paid in full. And Jesus said, tell me, which one of those will love him the most that cleared his debt? Amen. And Simon said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Amen. You know, the Bible says, oh, beloved, listen to me today, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I've known so many good people. They were brought up good. They had a good life. They really honored their parents. They grew up to be good people. They believed in doing what was right. They helped people. They gave. They done the right thing. But you see, that's never going to be enough. You see, Jesus paid a debt he didn't owe. Jesus paid your debt and my debt in full. Yes. And some of us have not really been bad people. Now, I'll speak for myself. I was one of the worst people you ever met. I grew up by a single parent. My father had left me when I was 2 years old. And people made fun of me in school, grade school, all through school. They called me a bastard because I didn't have a daddy. They made fun of me. And that really started toughening my heart, making it hard. And I thought, well, I'll just show them. I become a liar, a thief, you name it. I become one of the worst people you could ever meet. I didn't care. Because I thought, if nobody cares about me, why should I care about them? See, I was lacking the teaching. And growing up with a mother and a father both, and I was lacking the teaching of God's word from a mother and a father. My mother loved Jesus. But she had to work and provide the means to raise me up. She was gone most of the time, cleaning people's houses, washing on a scrub board, hanging people's clothes out on the line. She'd bring people's clothes home and iron them with an iron off of the stove. She never had the time for me. And therefore, I had plenty of time for the devil to work in my mind. Does the devil work in children? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. The devil will work in anything that he can influence. Yeah. And so I just didn't have the right upbringing. of a family. I think about Pastor Nikki tells me about how loving her mom and dad was, and how her mom would sew her clothes, and how that her daddy would take her to church, and how that they was there for her when she might go outside and play and get all skin up, and mom and dad or one or the other or both would take and fix her up and was concerned about her. And when I hear Pastor Nikki tell me about her childhood, I see that I missed out on so much. I become hardened. I become a hardened sinner. I become a hardened sinner. And I turn to alcohol and drugs and sex and everything you could imagine. I turn to that to try to find the thing that I never had. And it never worked out. Things got worse and worse. You know, the debt I owed, it kept getting bigger and bigger. My sins started adding up one after the other. But what happened when I was 43 years old? I found out that there was someone that loved me, no matter what kind of person I was. That Jesus loved me and was there for me. I had a heavenly father that knew that I didn't have an earthly daddy. That all heaven was watching. Amen. With the struggle of this little boy coming up. And with this little boy growing up to be a man and a rotten, vile sinner. And when I read about this woman and what a sinner she was, it reminded me of what a sinner I was. And how that day, October 28, 1987, in a horse pasture outside of Dallas, Texas, that I dropped on my knees. And I was in the presence of a holy God, and I was weeping, and I was giving everything that was in my heart, body, and soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, and asking Him, like the woman that was crying in her tears, just wet the feet of Jesus, and she wiped His feet with her hair, and then she anointed His feet the only way that I knew how. To come into the presence of God was to weep and to ask God to forgive me of my sins. You cannot come into the presence of Jesus Christ without something affecting you. And I will say 99% of the people, when you really come into His presence, will weep for the fact that His presence is so overwhelming. And He is so awesome, and He is so loving, and He is so kind, and He is so thoughtful, and He is so forgiving, that we cannot contain that kind of love. I owed Him. My sins were so many. And that day when He frankly, like this man here, I had nothing to give Jesus. I had nothing to pay Him back with. Amen. The only thing I could do was depend on Him and His mercy and His forgiveness. And the man that forgave, the one that had a little money that owed Him, the one that had just a few little sins in his life, it still affected Jesus. Jesus forgives whether it's little or whether it's much.
Yes.
He will forgive you.
Yes.
And the Bible says, which one of these will love the one that forgive them of their debts the most? And Simon said, the one that he forgave the most. Now, I'm not saying if you're a good person, that's still not enough to get you into heaven. You've got to repent of your sins, and you've got to understand that only Jesus can save you. You can't be good enough. And maybe you've been a good person, but you still need to understand that rotten sinner, that he will forgive them just like he forgave you. And when the person like I was and like this woman was when she wiped Jesus' feet from her tears on his feet and anointed his feet, that was the most humble act that you could do. You know, Jesus, the night of the Passover, the night that they came to get him, and before the Passover meal, that Jesus took and washed his disciples' feet. That was the most humble thing you could do. And the most humble thing that you can do now, right now, the most humble thing you can do is humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. And he will lift you up. He will wash you clean. His blood was shed so that every wrong thing, all your unrighteousness, all your past sins will be cleaned up and forgiven, and you'll have a fresh, brand new start. And if you have been a sinner like I was, you have not went too far that he won't forgive you. And whenever you humble yourself and repent of your sins and receive Jesus, there's going to be a love in you for the Master. There's going to be a love in you for the Savior. There's going to be a love in you for the one that took all that trash and garbage out of your life and gave you peace and joy and happiness, joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's going to be a love. Some people wonder, why have you been going into nursing homes for 29 years? Because I love Jesus. I want to do what he gives me to do. I am not going to try to pick and choose what pleases me, but if the Lord wants to send me through the fire, if he wants to send me through the flood, wherever he wants to send me, I love him with all of my heart, and I will go with him all the way. And that's what Jesus wants from you today. You've not been too bad. You've not sinned too much that Jesus can't and will forgive you.
Yes,
and
yes.
Make you clean.
That's right.
Make you whole.
Amen.
And that's why I say today, this woman came to Jesus, a rotten sinner. But when she came into the presence of her Lord, she wept. I've wept like that so many times. Sometimes it affects me different. Sometimes when I'm in the real presence, into his throne room, I weep. Sometimes I laugh. Sometimes I speak in tongues. Sometimes I shout. I never know what's going to happen. But when you get into the presence of Jesus Christ, into the throne room of God, you will be affected like this woman. And I'm praying right now that the anointing will just cover you.
Yes.
And sinner, you're ready to come home.
Yes.
The Lord will get you out of that deep hole you've dug.
Yes.
David said he lifted me up out of a horrible pit. And you know what? When we're a rotten sinner, we've dug a deep hole.
Amen.
But God's arm is not too short that he can't reach down and take you up out of that horrible pit.
That's right.
Just like he did me. Yes, I love him.
Amen.
Yes, I've suffered persecution. And yes, I will continue to suffer persecution.
Amen.
But with his help, nothing will kill the love. The passionate, awesome, radical love I have for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You need to try it. You'll like it. You'll like it. We're going to close today with this song, and I pray you'll enjoy it. I pray you the message has touched you, and that you know that you're loved, and that there's always hope with Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Good message.
Amen.
4 years I've traveled a road.
God's mercy's here for you.
Mercy rewrote my life.
Mercy rewrote my life. I could have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. My mistakes were turned into miracles. Every tear was turned into joy. My sins forgiven, a new name was written. When mercy rewrote my life. Play it for us now, Nick. Oh, mercy.
Rewrote my life and yours. Mercy rewrote my life. I could have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. Wonderful that Jesus loved us so much that he came and paid for our sin on the cross. Oh, we praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And we pray that you would share this with someone and that you would join us tomorrow. Bye for now.